Our meditation today is in Psalm 15. Please turn there. We're reading, of course, from the New King James Version. And let's hear God's word. We note that this is a Psalm of David. Jehovah, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Now, an excellent question starts out this psalm. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? That is a good question for every single human being, not only on the face of the earth, but everyone who has lived, and everyone who yet shall live, generations yet unborn. Who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Who may come into fellowship with God? Who may dwell in mansions forever with him? Who will be accepted into his presence in all eternity? It's implied here that some will not be. How can we avoid being among that number? And how can we be dwelling in our Father's house forevermore? That is a great question. It is a question really in many ways that is in every single person's heart and always has been. But many, many people, many, many people do their very best, their level best, either to suppress the question, and the answer is that it implies, or else they make up their own answer. Ones that will, in their own minds and in their own hearts, justify themselves, but they are not justified before God. Who may abide in the covenant God's tabernacle? Who may dwell in his holy hill? We have objective things here from Scripture. God himself, through King David. God himself, through the sweet psalmist of Israel, tells us. Here's how you can dwell in the tabernacle. Here's how you can dwell in the holy hill. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. All right? He outwardly is conformed to the image of God. But not only outwardly, inwardly as well, by the words and by his heart. He's got good relationships with others. He does not backbite with his tongue. Maybe you children don't know what it means to backbite. It sounds like someone coming up to you and biting you in the back. That's what it means. Not literally necessarily, but someone who sneakily does everything he can to damage you and harm you and hurt you. It may be that he does sneaky things. It may be that he says sneaky words, but however it is, he pretends to be a friend, but he bites you in the back. Right? He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. He doesn't listen to vicious gossip, you see. He's not even, we see here that he's not active in doing something evil to others, but he's not even passive in it. He won't stand for others doing it. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. You see, he's got a proper attitude toward the wicked and toward toward the godly. He gives the proper, well, the proper estimation of the wicked and the godly. The wicked are not looked up to. The wicked are not thought to be someone that he'd love to be just like. He can't stand them. He can't stand the way that they act and the way that they talk. And obviously, from the way they talk and the way they act, he can't stand the violence of their hearts. And though the world may despise the godly, he honors them. He thinks them to be what they are indeed, the salt of the earth. His word is good. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. How many times have you heard of people that don't do this? They make a promise, but then when it gets to be too hard for them, or maybe it just gets a little inconvenient for them, they get rid of it. Oh, I don't want to keep this anymore. It's costing me too much money. Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. It's getting boring. Or whatever. The godly one, the one who may abide in God's tabernacle, who may dwell in his holy hill, swears to his own hurt and does not change. And he even uses his money in a godly way. He doesn't gouge people with it in times of emergency. No, and he doesn't take a bribe against the innocent, using his money or others' money to subvert justice. He who does these things shall never be moved. Okay, so we have here an objective measure. Who may abide in Jehovah's tabernacle? Who may dwell in his holy hill? If you read this with any honesty, you're going to think, I'm sunk. I'm sunk. Because what God is demanding here is what you have not done. The things you should have avoided, you rushed right into. And the things you were commanded to do, you've left them off. Already, you are flawed. God demands perfection. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You of yourself have an everlasting dwelling place, but it is not in God's tabernacle where you shall abide. And it is not in his holy hill that you shall dwell. Know of yourself, you can have no part with God. You face his justice. You face his anger. You face his condemnation. And you face his punishment. If we look at it merely that way, this is a psalm of despair. But there is one who has come, who has testified throughout all of Scripture, from Genesis 3, verse 15, to the end of the Bible, that the one who came to live in the place of sinners, live perfectly in the place of sinners, to die for sinners, taking the punishment that they deserve upon himself, he who did not deserve it. He paid off the penalty of their guilt and sin to the last, well, as the old King James says, farthing. That's one quarter of a penny. He paid it down to that. And through that, he paid it off entirely. God's wrath and anger against his people. Why, it was all paid off? And so since there was no longer any sin to punish, death could not hold him, and he was raised again from the grave, which we celebrate every week on this first day. This one is, of course, the perfect man, who is the perfect priest of God, gave the perfect sacrifice of himself. This one is, of course, fully God as well. 100% man, 100% God, in one Savior, in one person. And of course, I'm speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the substitute for his people. He did walk uprightly, worked righteously, and spoke the truth in his heart. He did not backbite with his tongue. He did no evil, but only good ever to his neighbor. He took up no reproach against his friend. Vile people were despised, but he honored those who feared his father. He swore to his own hurt. As we read in Psalm 40, that he swore to his father, well, he promised to his father, that he would come to do his will. And even at his own confessed hurt, there in Gethsemane, and there on the cross, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, quoting from Psalm 22, even to his own hurt, he did not change. He did not put out money at usury. No. He swept out people from the temple who were doing so. And he did not take a bribe against the innocent, but he justified. He justified the ungodly. He can never be moved, and everyone in him by faith is immovable as well. Now, that's wonderful. Fantastic. And suddenly this psalm is not one of despair, but of great joy. We have wrongly done every one of these things, but we have a Savior, a Deliverer, a Rescuer. We have one who did everything here right. This is a perfect description of Jesus Christ. He substitutes his people. And how do we become one of his people? By crying out to him to save us from our sin. It is then that we are immovable. And then, beautiful how in God's providence this ties in once again with our sermon today. We end up more and more looking like the person here in Psalm 15. We who once were exactly the opposite become more and more this way. Because, you see, we are found in Jesus now. We have been born again. We have new hearts given by the Holy Spirit in God's sovereign grace. And now, because we have new hearts with new loves, new desires, why more and more we who were covenant breakers, law breakers, haters of all that is good, walk in the way of holiness towards the place, the tabernacle. And we come to abide in God's holy hill. It is not of our effort. It is only and all because of Jesus Christ, the one who did qualify perfectly here. So as we think about this psalm, and as we sing it here in a moment, let's rejoice that we have such a Savior who delivers us, first of all, from the penalty of breaking all these things, and who delivers us to delighting to be more and more this way, and to his Father's house, which has many mansions. It is so because he has told us.